I want to add to my thanks to Miriam and just thank all the speakers from today, some online right now, for something which, this was a leap of faith, so to speak, creating a program for Shavuot Sabbatamos for a fast day and hoping that people would participate. And I'm really gratified to see that people have learned with us. Some of you I saw at 10 a.m. So thank you very, very much for being with us all day. The program as a whole, as we've been announcing, is dedicated by Ellen Warner and Jeff Lipton in memory of Freda Warner, Zichrona Levracha, Freda Bas Chaim Yehuda Leib V'Chaya Roiza, for her 12th Yahrzeit. Also, this session is dedicated by Rivka Glozich in memory of Rabbi Reuven Bolka, Zichrona Levracha, who, as we announced earlier, passed away this morning. His Levaya's funeral is actually going to be broadcast at 4 o'clock. So I plan to post the link in the chat, for that as well. So that people will be able to watch that. Right now, that's just the source sheet link that's in the chat. Okay. Our topic, do we still fast? Zachariah's question. If you take a look at the source sheet, I brought you a piece from a Toronto Torah column from our former Sgan, Rabbi Baruch Weintraub, titled, Should We Continue to Cry? From Toronto Torah for Pinchas from a few years back. And it goes as follows. Herbert Samuel, the first British High Commissioner of what was then Palestine, who was also a Jew, was appointed to his role on the 15th of Tammuz in 1920. 4 days later, Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak Cook, who served as the chief rabbi of Jerusalem, wrote a letter to a Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Zisselman. In the letter, Rabbi Cook answered Rabbi Zisselman's question, should we continue to fast over the destruction now that we have a Jewish high commissioner? Rabbi Cook responded briefly without citing any sources for his answer. He emphasized that while he identifies with the questioner's strong feelings towards, quote, our brother, the great minister, the fasts are not to be abolished as long as the temple remains unbuilt. So Rabbi Cook's question, or the question that was put to Rabbi Cook, really, has to resonate with us. The question comes up every time we see, thank God, a positive milestone in the development of the Jewish people, in our national life in Israel, right? Most recently, Naftali Bennett, a kippah-wearing prime minister. But the question comes up over and over again, at what point is it enough? At what point do we say we no longer need to observe these fasts? And what I wanted to do to address this question is to draw on Zechariah, because Zechariah had a better reason to say stop fasting than any of us in our day. Early in the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, the second temple, Zechariah was approached with this question, when can we stop fasting? So I want to look at how he answered the question and what we are supposed to learn from it, right? I didn't put in a formal Zoom poll, but I think it's fair to I'll ask you. Quick show of hands. How many of you have asked this question, have thought about this question of at what point do we stop having fasts for the destruction of Yerushalayim, destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? Okay, I see a bunch of hands, live hands and virtual hands. It's certainly a major question that we're right for asking. This is separate from the question that we ask regarding Nachem. Right, Nachem, which has historically been recited at Mincha on Tisha B'Av, includes descriptions of Yerushalayim in ruins, and that's its own debate and its own discussion, which I've discussed in other shiurim, in other classes. But let's launch into this. So our story regarding Zechariah takes place in approximately the 5th century before the Common Era in the land of Israel. The Jews have returned to Israel, licensed to do so by Cyrus II, king of Persia. But all is not well. As Miriam was talking about just now, as we see in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, there were great problems. Problems included, as discussed, intermarriage among the Canaanites, but also problems of poverty, of oppression by enemies, of a small population. I should note, just in response to the note in the chat, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein believed, if I remember correctly, not to change the text of Nachem. I'm fairly clear on it. But Ezra and Nehemiah record the problems that they're seeing in those first generations of the second Beis HaMikdash, and we see it in the prophet Haggai, who writes about the people who are more concerned about safety and survival than with building the Beis HaMikdash, they're not building, and he has to try to urge them to build and encourage them to build. So another of the leaders of this time is Zechariah. And Zechariah is a prophet who encourages the Jews with remarkable prophetic visions. Some of his more famous visions include the Haftarah that's read on the first Shabbos of Hanukkah, Rani v'Simchi, picturing Yehoshua, Kohen Gadol, wearing dirty garments, which are then changed into white garments, and the Satan attacking him. The Haftarah read, I think it's the first day of Sukkot, a vision of a great war of the nations against Jerusalem, Har HaZeisim, Mount of Olives splitting. He has a vision of a floating scroll and flying women, a vision of an expanded city of Jerusalem. He is the one with the vision of a popular wall of fire around Yerushalayim. Good one to read, actually, on a fast day, I feel like, especially towards the end as the fast goes on. Well, Zechariah is the focus of our conversation. So there's a lot to say, even about just the passage in Zechariah that we're going to be reading about. There's a lot to say. So in source number 2 on the sheet, I gave you a link to classes that I've taught about Zechariah as a whole, and feel free to go there, and you may find something worthwhile in there. But source number 3 on the sheet is from Zechariah chapter 7, and I'm using the Koran translation. I've just adapted it a little bit to make it a little bit more readable. And we're going to work with the English. And it came to pass in the 4th year of King Daryavesh, King Darius the Persian, that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the 4th day of the 9th month in Kislev, when Beit El, Shar Etzer, and Regem Melech and his men had sent to entreat the favor of the Lord to speak to the priests who were in the house of the Lord of hosts and to the prophets, saying, should I weep in the 5th month, separating myself as I have done these so many years? Right? What is weeping in the 5th month? What's that talking about? What is weeping in the 5th month? Yeah, Tisha B'Av. Right, Tisha B'Av, correct. So we're talking about weeping on Tisha B'Av, and the emissaries from Bavel, from Babylon, come to him to ask him, should we fast on Tisha B'Av? Then Isaac Abarbanel comments that they only ask about Tisha B'Av and not the other fast, because they take it as a given that the other fasts are gone, because the other fasts are more directly about Yerushalayim, right? When we think of the fast that we're observing today, Shavuot B'Tammuz, so aside from the Luchos, the tablets being broken, we're talking about the invasion of the city of Jerusalem. That's generally what the fasts are for. Tisha B'Av is uniquely about the Beis HaMikdash, and that's what they ask about. Commentators are split on how to view this question. Is this question genuine, or is this question rude? Of course, you can be genuine and rude. Nonetheless, if you take a look on your sheet, it's source number 4, Radak. He says that this is a genuine question. They still did not believe in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash because of the enemies who had halted the construction for years. Now, despite hearing that they were building, these people were of little faith and did not wish to ascend from Babylon. They're staying in Babylon because they did not believe that construction of the Beis HaMikdash would be completed and it would stand before their foes. They didn't think that it was really going to happen, and so they send this question very sincerely. Everything here looks incomplete. Don't know that this can be done. Maybe we should just keep on fasting. Abarbanel says that wasn't what was going on. He says, the verse mentioned this was in the 4th year of Darius when most of the structure had already been constructed. It added that this was the 9th month termed Kislev. Why did the text bother to add in Kislev? Why didn't it just say the 9th month, the same way that if the 5th month, it didn't say Av, it just said the 5th. Why did it say Kislev? From the word Kisil, a fool, to say that their question was foolish. And Don Isaac Abarbanel contends the question was rude as well as foolish. It was an insult targeting Zechariah, saying, you're running this foolish campaign to build a temple. It's not time yet. It's not going to happen yet. So what you have here are two ways to read a very basic question. You're building the second temple, the second Beis HaMikdash. You're claiming this is the time for us to return. Is it really, or should we keep fasting on Tisha B'Av? Question to you. How would you answer them? What would you say to them? Assuming the question is genuine and not rude, how would you answer them? Nothing? We are dumbfounded by your question. Like, what would we, what would you
say? Can you repeat the question again?
Yeah, their question, they're asking, should we still fast on Tisha B'Av? How would you answer them?
I think yes.
You would say yes. Why yes?
Yes. Because I think we haven't returned to Israel yet.
Oh, but I'm asking it in Zechariah's time. The people have asked Zechariah. Zechariah has already almost completed building the second temple, second Beit HaMikdash. Yes, Moish.
Okay, sorry, I missed that.
Yeah. Moish, what would you say? You're muted.
They should not have continued to fast as they did. All they had left to do was the Beit HaMikdash. I don't mean to use as a joke all, but everything else had been improved substantially, so they have to make a difference.
Okay, so not through fasting. Okay, Chana.
The second Beit Mikdash wasn't the same as the first one. The people cried when they saw the second one. There was no Aron, there was no Shemin HaMishcha. A lot was missing.
Right.
So maybe it's not complete.
So Chana points out the second Beit HaMikdash indeed is lacking five things that were in the first Beit HaMikdash. It is missing miracles, and it's missing all the glory. It's missing the wealth. The first Beit HaMikdash was beautiful. The second Beit HaMikdash in the beginning, not so much. Herod eventually would take care of that. But in the beginning, it's really not this grand structure. So how should Zechariah answer them? Well, let's take a look and see what Zechariah says. Take a look, please, at source number 6. Hashem gives Zechariah an answer, which comes in three parts. So the first part. And again, I'm reading from the English translation via the Koran. Then the word of Lord of hosts came to me, saying, speak to all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth month and in the seventh for these 70 years, was it for me that you really fasted? And when you did eat and when you did drink, did you not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Should you not hear the words which the Lord has proclaimed by the former prophets when Yerushalayim was inhabited and in prosperity and its cities round about her when the Negev and the coastal plain were inhabited? Okay, so first of all, he mentioned two fasts here. The fifth month we've said is Tisha B'Av. What's the one for the seventh month?
Today.
No.
Today.
No, the seventh month.
It's
today. Gedalia. Tzom Gedalia. Tzom Gedalia, the fast of Gedalia is the seventh month. And it's Tzom Gedalia. So, what exactly was Zechariah answering? What was his answer? I mean, there were a lot of words here, right? When you fasted and mourned, was it for me that you really fasted? When you ate, when you drank, did you not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? What exactly... What does that mean? How does it sound to you? Sounds like a criticism to me.
It almost sounds like he's saying you never fasted properly.
Yeah, doesn't it? Doesn't it really? It sounds like a serious insult here. Shayna.
What he's really saying, I think, is what was the purpose of your fast? Was it just to deprive yourself for a day, or was there some larger idea behind it? And the fast is just a representation of the idea.
Good. So Shayna is in Abarbanel's camp. Burton in the chat. Were you really being sincere in your fast? There's a challenge to the validity of what they were doing. So a couple of notes. First of all, just generally, how you understand the question determines how you understand who the target audience is for the answer. Meaning, Abarbanel believes the questioners were rude and insincere. So he says this answer is actually targeting the Jews in Israel. God doesn't care what the Babylonians do. He's watching what the Jews in Israel do. Whereas Ibn Ezra says, no, it's for everybody, including the Babylonians. That's just a side note. But take a look on your sheet, please, at source number 7 in Radak. Radak says, God is saying, because of your sins, the house was destroyed and you were exiled. Because of this, you fasted. If you will perform justice and righteousness, then you will not need to fast, for the house is already built. Ascend from the diaspora, and you will dwell in the land for all time. In other words, as Radak reads it, it's what exactly was the goal of the fast? Was the goal of the fast loss of the temple, loss of the Beis HaMikdash? In that case, you have it back. There's still another reason to fast, which is because you sinned against me. Correct that wrong, and then you'll be fine. That's what Radak is suggesting here. Radak actually has more comments. I just picked one of them here. The Abarbanel makes it even more clear. Take a look at source number 8. He says, my translation, the completeness I desire is that which is recorded in Yirmiyahu. Let the one who is praised be praised for this. Have insight and know, K-N-O-W, me, God. For I am God who performs generosity and justice and righteousness in the land. This is what I desire. Meaning, I desired for you to perform generosity, justice, righteousness in the land, to walk in my ways. Right? Go back to Ray Metzger's shiur earlier about Yeshaya's vision for the fast God desires. Fasting and eating are not among my actions. I don't fast, God says. I neither eat nor drink. Fasting is non-eating. It is not relevant for me. One cannot refrain from anything other than that which one normally practices. It's not called fasting if you never eat, is what God says. That's not called fasting. Fasting isn't a godly thing to do. What you should be doing is do that which I do, which is generosity, justice, righteousness. God is saying to them at this stage, the fast wasn't the point. Not a rejection of the fast as a halacha, as a law, but the fast was not really what this was all about. What this was supposed to be about from the beginning was supposed to be justice and righteousness. That's what you were supposed to be doing. Have I fasted? I don't fast. I perform righteousness. That's what I want you to do. That's the first part of the response that is sent. The second part of the response is a promise of future growth. If you go back to source number 6, to the second paragraph, and the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus spoke the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, show loyal love and mercy every man to his brother. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the stranger, the poor. Let none of you devise evil against his brother in your heart. That's what I called upon you to do. But they refused to hearken. They turned a stubborn shoulder. They stopped their ears that they should not hear. They made their hearts an adamant stone, lest they should hear the Torah. And so, I'm continuing here, when he cried, they would not hear. So shall they cry, I will not hear. I will scatter them, and so on. The God says, because you didn't do right before, therefore, you suffered. If you would do right, you would be restored. Ibn Ezra and Radak believe this isn't part of the actual answer to the visitors. This is a separate point that God is making before he comes to the conclusion of his answer. Jump down to source number 10, please. And Zechariah says the following. And the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, right? The fast of the fourth is today, Shavuot Seva Tammuz, the 17th of Tammuz. The fast of the fifth month, the Tisha B'Av fast. The fast of the seventh, Tzom Gedalia. The fast of the tenth, meaning the tenth day of Tevet, shall become times of joy and gladness and cheerful feasts to the house of Yehuda. Therefore love the truth and peace. Thus says the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass, there shall come people, the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to entreat the favor of the Lord, to seek the Lord of hosts, I will go also. And many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Yerushalayim, and to pray before the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass, that 10 men out of all the languages of the nations shall take hold, shall seize the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you. We have heard that God is with you. He says, in the future, these fasts will be abolished. He doesn't say when. They will be transformed into days of joy. But it's going to happen only once you do the things you have been instructed to do. When you love truth and peace. when that's when it will be time to get rid of these fasts. So if you take a look at Radak, which I brought you in source number 11, he says, if you will do these things I instructed you, God says, then you shall not fast on the fasts regarding which you asked whether to fast on those days. You will rejoice from the great good you will have. This will be in the time of Mashiach, he says. You do what you were told to do, then you will get rid of the fasts. Ibn Ezra adds a note that I want to come back to, but I want to just make sure we're clear so far. Zechariah's answer to the people is engage in right behavior. Fasting because your ancestors fasted is not really the point. The point is to do what you are supposed to do because it is your will to do right. And that will lead to a time when the fasts will truly be abolished. That's how we get rid of having to fast. Now, because I posted the title of this as the question of should we still fast, I have to give a broader answer than just Zechariah's answer. So just to note from a halachic perspective, and it was mentioned earlier, I think, in Ezra Diena's shir, That's very strange. In source number 13, I started to translate the piece, but I somehow or other missed part of my translation when I cut and pasted it. All right, so source number 13 just has the Hebrew text, but I'll explain it to you. I don't know what I did there. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah analyzes these psukim in Zechariah, and it says that there are three categories of period. There are three types of periods in Jewish history. There are times of shalom, times of peace. Those are times when there's no fasting. Instead, we rejoice, like Zechariah predicted. And Rabbeinu Hananel, in source number 14, says that means whenever the temple stands, when the Beis HaMikdash stands. Then you have times of persecution. You have times when things are terrible. And at that point, we are required to fast on these days. And then you have intermediate periods. And intermediate periods are times when you don't have shalom, you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, you don't have a temple, but you also don't have persecution. And then it's left up to us to decide whether to fast. So the Gemara then goes on to say that Tisha B'Av may not be in this category. Tisha B'Av may be unique and only abolished once the temple stands. Tisha B'Av is a different story. But the other fasts this may be true for. The Shulchan Aruch says, the fasts continue today. And the Mishneh Berurah explains that the fasts continue today because we are in that in-between time right now. This is not called a time of persecution, not compared to what Jews have experienced historically, even with the rise in anti-Semitism. I think that the Mishneh Berurah, right, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan, who passed away in 1933, saw plenty in Poland in the end of the 19th century, the beginning of the 20th century. He considered that to be in-between times. But he said the communal decision historically has been to fast, and therefore that's what we continue to do from a halachic perspective. But the point for us, again, coming back to Zechariah, is that Zechariah is approached by people who say, but you're building the second temple, you're almost done. Should we really be fasting? And Zechariah's answer to the nation is, the point was never about the fasting, it was listening to the Nevi'im. That's what it's about. Fulfill that, and you will bring the fasts to an end. You follow? Okay. Now I want to come back to that Ibn Ezra, because Ibn Ezra makes this comment, which is really important to note. In source number 12, he says, opposite those who asked, shall I cry in the fifth month, who did not observe the Torah God had commanded them, and who asked whether to observe that which their ancestors had accepted. Right? You're asking me, should we fast, instead of asking me how to perform the righteousness that God told us to do. The prophet replied, you would do better if you listened to the word of God and abandoned the words of your ancestors. You shouldn't be doing things just because your ancestors did them. There has to be a personal element to what you are doing, and that is something that I wanted to expand on for a moment. The need for a personal attachment to what we do, the need for a personal identity in the mitzvah we perform, is really crucial in Judaism. It is often said that the Chasam Sofer was against the new, that he felt the new was inappropriate. I call your attention to a responsum of his in source number 15, in which he says, All of the halacha contained in the Shulchan Aruch is that which was given equally to all Israel, with no one excluded. Yet he who possesses only Torah, meaning only that which is in the Shulchan Aruch, does not really even possess Torah. For then his performance becomes merely habit and custom passed on from generation to generation. He who would achieve piety before his Creator will be recognized by his deeds, by those practices which he originates for the sake of heaven. In other words, you have to develop your own connection. You have to develop your own practices. Not a rejection of what was before, but like Zechariah is saying, make your own connection. Build your own bond. And I think that that is a very, very important point. As we go forward, the fasts are our ancestors, but the meaning we invest is our own. I also brought you a piece from the Netziv, Rabbi Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, in which he talks about, it was on the Parsha that we read yesterday, on Parshas Balak. He speaks about viewing Judaism and Torah as a garden, and how in every garden, he says, I don't know what the gardening state of things was in Volozhin at the end of the 19th century, but he says, in every garden, you have a central color. That is the theme of the garden, and then all the other flowers around it complement the color that's in the center. And he says the same thing is true for mitzvos. Every person has that which resonates with them, that is the central theme of their garden of Torah, and then everything else they do complements that. But you have to know what resonates with you. You look for yourself within it. As Ibn Ezra is saying, we're supposed to find that connection ourselves and not simply do that which was always done. We're not going to get where we need to go with same old, same old. We need to break new ground. Looking at our sources, observing the fasts until we have the Beis HaMikdash, until we have the temple, but looking at it with fresh eyes and finding ways to practice that the Emet v'Shalom, that truth and peace that Zechariah emphasized. So I bring you the review questions at the end. Was the Babylonian delegation sincere in their question to Zechariah? And the answer is machlokes, not clear. What are the examples of the behavior? What are examples of the behavior that Zechariah prescribes? Pursuing justice, taking care of others, pursuing peace. Does Zechariah believe that the fast will be abolished? He does believe they will be abolished. He has not said that they are abolished in his day. And what are the three types of eras identified in the Talmud in its discussion regarding fasting? When you have a Beis HaMikdash, when you have Shalom, then there's celebration on those days. When there's persecution, there is fasting. And in between, it's what the people do, and what is done, what has been done for generations is to continue those fasts. Thank you very much. I made sure to try to end with times that people could go to the Levaya, the funeral for Rabbi Bulka. The link is now in the chat, so please do. And thank you again for participating, especially some of you were here all day long. I really appreciate it. And for those who are able...